Official, it's Danielle Fischel,
Ryder Strong,
and Will Friedle from Pod Meets World.
Does friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste.
Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten.
Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party.
So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles.
Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome back to the Ghost Bunny Podcast. I'm your host, Bridget Marquardt, with a brand new episode for you guys. My guest today is Mackenzie Westmore. She's an actress, singer, and host. Mackenzie is certainly no stranger to the film and television industry. A member of the legendary Westmore family, Mackenzie started her career early at the age of just 3 when she was cast in Raging Bull as Robert De Niro's daughter and can still be seen as the host of sci-fi's exciting special effects and makeup competition series, Face Off. Most widely recognized for her 10-year run as Sheridan Crane on NBC's popular daytime drama Passions, Westmore's additional television and film credits include Weird Science, Star Trek The Next Generation, Star Trek Voyager, Dexter, Surviving Suburbia, and the Star Trek feature film Insurrection. Westmore also played a recurring role in ABC's hit daytime drama All My Children. In addition, she can be seen in the HBO web series Apocalypse Wow and in the independent feature film Vile. More recently, Star Trek Picard as Ramsu, Amazon Prime's The Bay as Caroline Allen, Crisis Earth starring as Molly, and coming soon as Brooklyn in Love in the Air. When she is not working in front of the camera, Westmore can be found working hard behind the scenes, writing and producing on several new projects currently in development. A health, beauty, fitness, and nutrition enthusiast with a background in personal training and nutrition, Westmore is also developing a line of wellness products created to enhance the health, beauty, and well-being of women everywhere. Westmore is so proud of her rich family heritage and was thrilled to celebrate in 2008 when the Westmore family received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in honor of their pioneering work in the world of film and television makeup, and the combined family contributions to over 2,000 films and television series. With her love of family and heritage, Mackenzie took all of that and created her own cosmetic line 10 years ago called Westmore Beauty, which can be found on QVC and westmorebeauty.com. And I'm so excited to have her back on the show today. Mackenzie, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's so great to be back. Thank you so much.
Yes, I was just talking about your makeup line, and I just want everybody to know, I know we're not here to talk about makeup or beauty tips or anything like that, but I love the body perfector.
It's so game-changing that I can't even fully express it sometimes. I mean, even for myself. And, you know, I've been using it. Obviously, I made it, so I've been using it for a while. And it's one of those things that where it's like, I'll forget about it for a little bit and then I'll put it on. I'm like, oh, wow. I forgot how good my skin can look. And I forgot why I'm not wearing shorts right now.
Yeah. And especially like, well, I mean, even in the summertime, putting it over a tan, but when you're not very tan and like you, I want to wear a dress, but I haven't had sunlight hit my legs in a year.
You don't have the time always to do self-tanner. That's the thing that I was getting frustrated with, is that I didn't always have the time to do self-tanner. And this is like, it's just so easy. You put it on and it's like within an hour, you're set for the week.
You know what, though? Honestly, I like to do self-tanner and then put this on top of it because it makes my legs look like Barbie doll legs.
It really does. And you're actually doing a smart thing, because the one thing about all self-tanners, they have more of an alcohol base to them. So they get rid of all the oil on your skin. So you're actually prepping your skin perfectly.
Oh, good. Yes, I didn't even know it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how we first met, because you were hosting a show called, what was it called? The Look?
The Look All Stars. Yes.
All Stars. Right. And I was asked to be on it. Yeah. And I went on and they did like this whole like vintage look on me, like pinned hair.
You know what's funny? You were on that episode with Sabina. Mm-hmm. And of all the people from that show that I've kept in touch with, are you and Sabina?
Isn't that weird?
Isn't that wild? That one episode gave me like two great friends.
Yeah.
I loved that episode. I mean, you both looked so gorgeous and you were so perfect for that episode. It was that cool like pinup transformation. I freaking loved that episode.
You know what's funny is when I looked at myself in the mirror, and even when I see pictures back on that day, I don't even recognize myself. It's so different from the way I typically look.
Yeah, it's so true.
But anyway, it was kind of a makeover show, and it was more about, we were just the models, and it was more about like the hair people and the makeup people, like making this transformation in like a really quick amount of time.
Right. Exactly. It was all hair, makeup, wardrobe, transformation. It had a face-off essence to it, but obviously wasn't special effects. It was more the beauty world. And, you know, I mean, the two of you, it was like turning beauties into beauties. It was like, okay, here's a beautiful girl turning into a pinup beautiful girl.
Yeah, just a different style.
Yeah, it was. But it was cool. I love that it was a pinup challenge because there is an aesthetic to that. There is something that is not of today. And I loved that part of it, you know, between the lips and the hair and the pale skin. And there is something, you know, the red lipstick is always so iconic to pin up. And the hairstyle, that to me is like the end all be all to pin up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And tell me about Face Off. Is that still currently on?
So we're not currently filming, but it is currently on. It's really cool. It got a revitalization on Netflix. So you can find a bunch of these seasons on Netflix now.
For people that don't know, Face Off was like a makeup, but like they did full transformations, like the, why am I blanking on the word? Like all, not paranormal, but like.
There were like almost paranormal, but it's more like special effects of everything you could think of, from werewolves to aliens to ghosts to Tim Burton, you know, whatever challenges that we threw at those poor contestants and they pulled it off. They did a great job.
It's so cool. Now I want to do that show.
That show was amazing. In fact, V Neal just did an amazing convention. She just had a vampire convention in Burbank that was this last weekend. And I wasn't able to go because I'm all over the place with QVC and I'm actually starting to film, get back into acting and filming. And so I leave again this week for QVC, but I wasn't able to be there. Unfortunately, they had a Face Off panel, part of this whole vampire weekend. So I told her next time for sure, I will be there. I will block the time out of my calendar and I will be there.
That's so fun. Yeah. Oh my God. I love all that special effects makeup and everything. I think it's so cool. The transformations they can do on people is unbelievable.
It's incredible. I mean, what those artists pull off in the time frame, it's absolutely mind blowing.
I'm curious, with your family's legacy in the makeup industry and stuff, did your family do any of the original like Universal Monsters and everything?
So my family did work, my great uncle worked on Creature from the Black Lagoon. They did do a lot of the old ones, but more so I would say when you're looking back historically, they were more known for like Gone with the Wind, Ten Commandments, Breakfast at Tiffany's. You know, of Creature in the Black Lagoon was definitely one, but that they were kind of like more into the beauty space. My dad was more special effects. Yes, he was with Elizabeth Taylor for 10 years, but he did 18 years of Star Trek.
That's so crazy. Oh, he was with Elizabeth Taylor for 10 years. No big deal.
I know. I don't mean for it to just roll off like that, but it's like, I think because I've said it so many times, especially with Westmore Beauty, it's just now to the point where it's like, okay.
But I think, did I read that they did do, one of your family members did Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Yes. Actually, yes, you're right. Yes. One of my great uncles. It wouldn't have been my grandfather. No, because my grandfather actually unfortunately passed away. He was juggling, I'm blanking on the one movie, but he was also doing Gone with the Wind. So two movies at the same time. And I don't know the full historical story, but from what I was told, Selznick would call him like every hour through the night with changes.
Oh God.
And apparently he had a massive coronary heart attack from the stress. He died when my father was 1 year old.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So we're very, very enmeshed into Hollywood history through life and death.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you that Nick, my husband's grandfather, was Hal Roach?
No. I never knew that.
So his family's very enmeshed too.
Same thing, yes.
Laurel like and Hardy.
But like we all go together.
Yeah. Laurel and Hardy, the Little Rascals. I mean, his grandfather probably knew somebody in your family.
Because I mean, the other thing too, they go all the way back to even Mary Pickford.
Yes.
My family was in charge because they started in hair. So they would curl her wigs every night. They created those like coil curls for Mary Pickford.
That's so cool. That is so cool.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Well, speaking of filming and stuff, you said you're really busy and you were just in New Mexico.
Yes.
And you stayed at a very haunted hotel and you said you were like, I don't know if I should give you the name because I don't know if it's out there. But you know what? I looked it up and there's all kinds of stories out there about that hotel already.
Okay, because they made me feel bad.
No, I was like, well, if it's truly a secret and there's nothing out there, I'll keep it a secret. Right. But then I looked it up and I was like, oh wait, it's known.
Okay, good. Thank you so much for it. Cause I thought I'd seen stuff online, but I'm glad that you researched it because this was probably one of the first times you and I've talked about this where I'm that person that's always looking for it and it never happens. This is one of those times where it was like, it happened.
I can't wait to hear. So just to let people know, you were filming in New Mexico. You were staying at a hotel called the Hotel Park Central. Yeah. It's a boutique hotel that offers both historic elegance and contemporary comfort. The guest rooms, there's 74 of them and 15 luxury suites and 3 cottages, and each is stylishly appointed. It opened in 1926 and the building was named Santa Fe. Oh, okay. When it first opened, it was the Santa Fe Hospital, and correct, it was used for the treatment of employees of the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railway Company. And in the 1940s, the hospital was renamed AT&SF Hospital. And later in the 80s, it was purchased by a group of psychiatrists and renamed Memorial Hospital. And then for the next 3 decades, it was a place where children and young adults suffering from mental conditions were treated. And it wasn't until 2010, after a huge $21 million investment and support from the city, that a different company, let's see, it's the Hooning Highland Historic District Neighborhood Association, bought the hotel and opened its doors as a hotel.
Yes.
You want to hear what happened, what other people have reported before we hear your story?
Yeah, please go for it.
Okay. During an investigation in January 2011 by the Los Muertos Spirit Seekers, 3 team members experienced unexplained voices whispering close to their location. They also reported distinct coolness near their bodies and a sense of being watched. After reviewing their evidence, some of these experiences were captured on digital voice recorders. They also carried out the flashlight technique, an attempt at communication with the spirit that involves the answering of questions through turning on and off of the flashlight. This was a success with several responses captured on video. A one-time psychiatric hospital and continued cultural icon in the area, the Hotel Park Central has decades of history with many reports of the paranormal throughout the years. Several of these incidents occurred during the time the building was known as Memorial Hospital, and many patients have had their own experiences, including the sighting of apparitions. The top floor on the right wing is where a woman apparition has been watching people in the hallways. Patients also reported having their bed sheets pulled off them in the middle of the night, and they said they were so traumatized by some of these events patients in the once hospital that once they were discharged, they continued to suffer from nightmares from the building. Wow. Patients were not only the ones to experience things that couldn't be explained. The staff of the hospital did too. They would often have the sensation of being watched, as well as hearing something whisper in their ear. The movement of objects and a general sense of heaviness throughout the building.
That's crazy. So I wouldn't say that. Now, here's the thing. I was given fair warning by production when they checked me in, because I was there for 3 to 4 weeks. Okay. Filming a movie. So I was there for a while, and I had a, you know, beautiful suite that had like a little living room, bedroom, right into the bathroom. And they warned me going in, they're like, you know, at first they're like testing the waters of like how I was about this stuff and said, well, you know, there's some history to the hotel. And I was like, please tell me it's haunted. Like, it was the first thing out of my mouth as I got off the plane. And they're like, oh, okay. We can tell you, we can talk to you now.
Oh, good.
So apparently one of the production people, I won't name names, but their great grandmother, I think it was admitted in that one of the rooms in the of the psych ward. Now, mind you, this same person told me that when they went to check in one of the actors of the movie, what happened? Something happened where the emergency lock was locked from the inside of the room and they couldn't get into the room. So how do you, like, there's no way to like lock the, like, you got to be inside the room to lock the emergency. So that was one thing that I was told about, and like little things like that. But nothing, you know, nothing serious. So when I checked in, I wouldn't say I felt a sense of heaviness. There was an interesting feeling. There definitely is something you feel when you walk into Hotel Park. And going in, I didn't want to just like walk up to the front desk and just be like, hey, be that weirdo. So I gave it a couple weeks before I approached them. But while I was there, and I also too, I wanted to see if I felt something. I wanted to see if something did happen. And I did post on my TikTok. I can send you a link to it when we get off, but I'll send you one thing that where I finally was like, okay, I got to post on this. I have to record this because this is just like too much at this point. So what was happening was, is because as you walked in the room, I had this like sitting area, and I'm a snacker. I like my Diet Cokes. Like I like my stuff at night sometimes when I'm just like chilling, relaxing. So I had one drawer that I had devoted to like snacks and Diet Coke and sodas. And I get into the room, I get everything situated, I go to bed, and I just keep hearing this drawer open and closing and open and closing. I'm like, okay, here we go. So I go out, and sure enough, the drawer is just open. One drawer, nothing else. And so I close it, I go back to my room, starts up again. And I let it go. I let it be. I always sleep with earplugs and a sound machine anyhow. So I'm like, whatever. Okay. So next morning I wake up, it's open again. So as I, you know, because I knew the history, and I knew that the last thing that it had been was I knew the children's hospital, but I also knew a psych hospital. So I didn't know who I was dealing with, but I'm very respectful of energy. I'm very respectful of, especially when it's not my place, when it's not my home. So what happened was I basically, after a couple of days of dealing with this, I just kind of had, this might sound crazy, but I had a talk with the ghost. And I just said, listen, I just want you to know, I'm simply visiting here. This is your place. I respect that this is your space. You know, if you could please just do me a favor, because I'm working really long hours right now. If you could please just do me a favor and keep that drawer closed, because it is a little frustrating to hear it opening and closing and to get around this room when it's open. It stopped. After I had a good little chat with whoever, and I feel my gut is feeling it was a little boy.
Okay.
That's the sense that I was getting. And it's giving me goosebumps right now. Tiger.
Well, he just wanted your snacks.
And that's what somebody said to me on my TikTok. They're like, he just wants to get your snacks. So that happened. And then I think because I feel like I developed a friendship, if you will. I remember one day, because it was in December of Albuquerque, New Mexico. It gets cold in Albuquerque. I don't know if people realize. It gets freezing cold. And we were filming outside till like midnight. And I remember leaving my hotel room at like, I got picked up at like 10 a.m. that day, 9 a.m. No, 10 a.m. And as I got picked up and I'm in the van driving to set, and I knew we were filming outside all day, I had all my thermals and everything on. I was like, oh my goodness, I forgot to turn on the room heater. I'm going to go back. It's going to be so cold. And so I'm thinking this in my head. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't tell production. Didn't like say anything. I'm just like dreading going back to my room that night. I get back to my room. The heater was on. So I really felt like whoever this spirit was looking out for me and wasn't trying to get to my snacks. It was more like, hey, you haven't eaten all day, which I hadn't. Get something to eat before you pass out, because I'm known for that. That's happened many times to me. So I really feel it was more like there was somebody looking out for me. And I just kept acknowledging it and saying, thank you, you know, whoever you are, thank you for looking out for me. And had a wonderful stay there. So long story short, that was like the biggest thing I would say that happened to me. The only other thing that happened was one annoying thing. Whenever I travel, if I can't get down to the gym, if I don't have time to like get to whatever gym is there, I'll bring bands with me. And you know how you can hook them in a door and close the door? So the door had no lock on it. Zero. Between the bedroom and the living area. So I hooked it in, locked that door, was still opening, closing, doing my exercises. It locked. And I had to get ready and get to set, because on the other side of that door was the bedroom and the bathroom. So I'm like, come on, please don't do this to me right now. So I called down, maintenance had to come up, and they're like, yeah, we deal with this a lot. I'm like, okay, said nothing still. Finally, I would say a couple of days before I was checking out, I went to the front desk and I said, I just got to know, what is the deal here? And they said, we are not allowed to speak about it. The owner is, the only thing we're allowed to say, according to the owner, is the only spirits that live here are up on the rooftop lounge in the apothecary where they serve drinks. So I had to just leave it at that. And it was what it was. And I enjoyed my stay. It was a beautiful hotel, to be honest with you. Nothing negative. It just was, you know, it was what it was. And I had a great time.
Yeah.
My little ghost friend.
It's always such a bummer to me when hotels don't want to talk about it. Like, they think it's a negative. And I mean, I get it. Not everyone believes, or some people are afraid or whatever, but I feel like there's so much more positive that can come out of it.
There is. And they did admit to me that there have been very well-known ghost hunters, if you will, that have offered a lot of money to investigate this place, and they turn them down every single time. I don't know why. I agree with you. I would think it would only be a commodity. And if you're getting paid, like, but I guess they feel like they will lose patrons. And I still don't understand that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they did the numbers and they felt they would lose more than gain. I don't know.
I wonder, so almost every hotel has a story, I feel like. So yeah. I wonder if people really are like, if I know that hotel's haunted, there's no way I'm staying there. I wonder if people actually like do that, because I feel like they would be surprised to know that almost every hotel, even modern day ones, have a lot of stuff that goes down in them and are probably haunted as well. I feel like the flip would be more accurate, that more people would want to stay there because it's haunted. Like, oh, I definitely want to stay there because it's haunted.
That's what I would think. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Albuquerque, New Mexico, but there's not a whole heck of a lot of hotels to stay in anyhow. So, and especially nice ones, there's only like maybe like two really nice ones. And this is one of them. So I don't know why they wouldn't. And it's the most centrally located to everything. It's, you know, not too far from the airport. I don't know why. I agree with you. I think it would only behoove them and would be like a selling point.
Yeah.
Because like you found, there's tons of information on it on the internet. So why hide it at this point?
Yeah.
Why not just, you know, embrace it? It is.
I mean, you don't have to advertise it. You don't have to be like, hey, come stay at our haunted hotel. But like, you don't have to like be like, oh, we can't talk about this either, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I was really surprised when I was turned down and told, and it wasn't, they weren't mean, they weren't rude or anything. They were very sweet about it. They just said, you know, we're not allowed to speak about it. Something about the owner does not want knowledge or does not want publicity on this side of the hotel. But to me, it's like, it's just a fact. It's
yeah.
What the hotel is. Why run from it?
Yeah.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
So you have been having stuff happen since you were little. Mm-hmm. Can we go back? And I know we talked about that the last time you were on, but that was so long ago. And we're a new podcast now. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those stories?
So one thing that I've come to learn and accept is that I'm an empath. I definitely can, and I've had this happen where I can walk into an environment, especially homes, and almost like to a T tell you what's gone down in that home. There have been some homes when I was looking to buy a home where I walked in and I said, somebody was killed here. Nobody's disclosing this yet. Somebody was murdered here. And finally, the realtor was like, all right, since we do have to disclose this, yes. I said, it was in the kitchen and there's stuff under there. There's stuff under the sink. I was right on everything. I called it. I called everything. But because I'll walk into a it's giving me goosebumps again. I'll walk into a building and I feel it. I sense it. And if something is off, and I've even had things happen where even in prior homes, I've had things happen where I will go through and I will sage, and I actually became an ordained minister. So I will go through and bless it if I have to, because if I can't like get a pastor or somebody to come out to me, I'll do it myself. So, and I've had to do that. Because the home that I lived in Los Angeles when I was there, it was built in like the 1940s, I think. It was actually a voting poll. So it had its own interesting history. But yeah, this has been going back since I was a little kid. The first thing that happened was I was drawing on a piece of paper, just scratching out a dark figure. No features, nothing, just a shadow. And my mom saw me and she was like, honey, what are you drawing? And I said, it's the man I see at night. Like, what parent wants to hear that? So my mom, she's an amazing woman. She was born in St. John, Newfoundland, you know, her own childhood. Like, she was sent to school with breadcrumbs in her pocket so that the fairies didn't take her while she walked through the forest. Like, oh, this wow. is the belief that my family comes from. You know, long line of psychics, long line of tarot readers. So oh, wow. She very much, she believed in what I was saying. So she did history on the house. She did some background checking, come to find out that where I was seeing, because when I would go to sleep at night, right in front of me, I would see this figure walk in front of me, and he'd walk like this and then just look at me like this and then just keep going and then go into the wall. And when she did research on the house, she found out that the man that built the house in the 30s or 40s had committed suicide and hanged himself right where I was seeing this. So she then pulled in a pastor, had the house like officially blessed, and never happened again. That was it.
Wow.
And then we all did have experiences in the house. It wasn't just that. Like, my brother one time, the door just kept creaking open. And my grandfather had recently passed away at the time, and his nickname was Gang. And he said, you know, Gang, please stop. I'm trying to sleep. And it stopped. So things like that, you know, I know to this day, I'm still surrounded by my grandmother. At the time I would smell the perfume. So yeah, since I was a really little kid, things would happen. And even down to, I don't know if you really consider this paranormal or not, but something of another world where I will have dreams. And I remember having a dream one night, this is just giving an example, having a dream one night, my mom was driving me to school and I was like, 9 or 10 at the time, driving me to school. And in my dream, when the light turned green, she went forward and we got T-boned and we were killed. And so we're driving to school that morning. I completely forgot about my dream. Mm-hmm. We're driving to school. I see the light start to turn green and I literally like slammed my hand across her and screamed, "Stop." And when I did that, a car ran the red light.
Oh, I just got a chill.
Things like that have happened to me my whole life. And I tried to like, I don't want to say ignore it, but there are moments where I'm like, I don't want to deal with this right now.
But you can't ignore it. I mean, it saved your life before.
Yeah. And I can't. And that's also, I mean, you'll see a cross. I mean, I'm a Christian, but you'll see a cross on me 9 times out of 10, just especially if I'm dealing or talking about something of the other world or of the other side, because this is my protection. Like I can't watch certain movies even if it's dealing with something satanic or if it's dealing with something that could, because I do feel like I am a vessel. And I do feel like sometimes I know that I have to protect myself. When I was filming in an abandoned hospital, not the one in New Mexico, this was years ago, filming a show called The Bay. And we were filming in Los Angeles in an abandoned hospital. And I told them, I said, okay, if you don't want to see my cross as the character, I'm tucking it in. And I'm actually contemplating getting a tattoo at this point, because I always, like, I can't, even when I go in for surgery, my husband has to like draw, like paint with like the Sharpies that don't go anywhere, a cross on my arm. Because that's just me. That's just the person that I am. So I'll tuck it in if I have to, but it's my form of protection. You know, I'll always say a prayer and it's my form of protection. And then I'll go and investigate these things and I'll try to find the the dark.
What hospital were you filming at in LA? Was it Linda Vista?
I think
in Boyle Heights?
I think it was Linda Vista. It's still operating as a hospital. It wasn't abandoned. It is still an operating house. I don't think it was Linda Vista. No, but I have been there. I think this one was like Van Nuys or Burbank.
Well, I was just curious because Linda Vista, it was an abandoned hospital where they used a lot. They did a lot of filming there. I mean, even Nick, my husband, he filmed like a music video there and some TV shows there and stuff. Like it's been used a lot, but then they put it into senior like Section 8 housing now. And wow. I'm so bummed because I never got to go and check it out or investigate it.
Yeah, that's another amazing one. Although that one, I had nothing happen. And that was frustrating because I was filming Face Off there and we were there at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, can't somebody come like walk around with her? And they're like, I was like, well, I don't want to go by myself. Like,
the spirits there were like, I don't know. You guys are scary. What are you doing over there?
They're more scared of us. That's almost how I felt. You know, this other hospital, the crazy thing with this other hospital was that it was still functioning while we were filming. It just happened to be the floor that we were on, the wing we were on, was a former children's hospital.
Okay.
And I have videos of this. I don't know if I ever posted them. And if I didn't, I'll just send them to you. But I took it upon myself. I had like a 5-hour break and I was like, I'm just not going to sit here. I went and found a security guard. And I asked him, I said, can we talk really quick? And he took me into rooms that there was one we went into that hadn't been open since like 1981, that was a children's recovery room. And sadly, the child had been abused so horrifically, died in the room.
Oh.
And they said, you know, you'll see things and you could still see in the dust, like footprints. It just was like, just terrifying, just so, so incredibly sad.
Yeah.
But what was crazy is that as we're filming on this ward, or this abandoned ward, the hospital is still going on. And sometimes we would hear like, you know, code red, code blue, like, and all of a sudden they'd say, okay, holding on production. And then somebody that was like dying has been gurneyed past us. I'm like, what is going on right now?
Like, yeah.
It was crazy. That was probably one of the craziest filmings I've ever had.
Definitely would be. Speaking of like feeling energy when you go places and stuff, I think we talked about this the last time you were on the podcast, but antique stores.
Oh, yes. You and I did talk about this. I can't do them.
I even just walking by the smell and the feeling that I get from like just being out front of them. And some people don't know what I'm talking about the smell, but it's a very distinct smell.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Is it almost like a musty?
Yes. Dirty? Musty and dusty and like old.
Old, yeah. Almost like moldy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so people are like, oh, you don't love antique stores? And I'm like, I mean, I think people have cool finds. Yeah. That they get at antique stores. And I wish that I liked going and doing that and buying like some amazing mirror or something like that, like ornate and everything. I would love that. But like, I don't even want to go in. Now, it's not so bad to where I can't go in. I can go in. But the whole time I'm like, it smells really bad in here. And I don't like that spot over there. And
you and I are exactly the same. And I know we talked about this once before, but it's tough because my husband loves antique stores. And I'm like you, I'll go in, but eventually I'll feel like I'm going to throw up. And the last time I went in with him, I just said, you know what? You keep going. I got to get out of here. And I just waited in the front. And then he felt bad. And then he was like, well, I can't just leave you on the street. But I was like, no, I'm fine. Like, you go do you and have fun. And I'm going to stay out here in the cool breeze. Not the musty, dank, moldy smell.
Yeah. It's funny. There's a, I haven't been, but there is an antique store in the town I grew up in, which is a pretty small town in Northern California. And it's super haunted. And there is a group of investigators that do investigations there, and they've invited me. And I'm like, this will be interesting because I'm weird about antique stores anyway. Right. And then it's known to be haunted for sure. And they do investigations. So this will be an interesting mix.
Oh, are you going to do it?
I want to. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That'll be incredible. I got to see that.
We'll see how long I can stay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what we need to do together. You and I should be like, see how long we can last.
I know.
First.
So you were talking about too, how like all of your homes that you've ever lived in have been haunted. Is that still true today?
Touch wood. No. This is the first home. And I don't know if it's because I live in Las Vegas now, and they're newer homes. Now, granted, that doesn't mean something could have, you know, nothing could have happened before. But thank God, like, this is the most pure, clean home I have ever felt or been in. From the minute I walked in, it was like, oh, I can live here. Oh, my God, I can live here. The only thing I would say that's happened, and I know I mentioned this to you when you and I were chatting before, the only thing I'll say that has happened, sadly, my husband's, first it happened in November, around Thanksgiving, his father unexpectedly passed away very quickly. And that was a shock. And then my husband, he was born in France, and that's where his parents were living. He went back to France for the funeral and to be with his mom. She wasn't doing well because they had been together. She and her husband were together not only as husband and wife, but also business partners for 70 years.
Wow.
Had never been separated, never traveled apart, never did anything apart. So she just was not eating. She wasn't drinking. She caught COVID. And even though she got sick, but she had COVID before and she was fine. We really genuinely feel it was just the vehicle because she essentially died of a broken heart.
Yeah.
She could not live without her husband. And it's a beautiful story, but sadly she passed 3 weeks later.
Oh my God.
So my husband had just gotten home from France, and then we get this phone call, and it's like this healthy woman that we just saw a photo of at Christmas dinner gone. And in between all of that, and I just, my heart bleeds for my husband because I can't fathom, and I don't want to, because I mean, thank God my parents are still around, and to lose them so close like that. And he's very close with his parents, and we all loved his mom and dad so much. But when his dad passed, I remember, you know, he and his dad was a little bit of like, I don't want to say prankster, but it was always kind of like, you know, nudging, needling at my husband. And they'd always kind of like, they'd butt heads once in a while. And they just were like the sometimes, you know, more like macho that way with each other. And I know his dad always, they would always try to like up one. And I remember it was shortly after his dad passed. I was down at an appointment, and my husband, he rides motorcycles. So he had gotten, he was trying to like get into the house, and it's like the key, the lock wouldn't work. All these things were like going wrong. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And he was just losing it. And I finally found him in the backyard sitting on the swing. And I was like, are you okay? And he was like, nothing is going right today. This happened and this, and there was always, it was always like weird things that just weren't making sense. And so I finally said to him, I said, it's your dad. And he was like, what? And then all of a sudden this huge gust of wind came into the backyard. And I said, it's your dad. He's here. He's basically, I'm messing with you. And that was him again. And then when Patrick acknowledged it, it stopped. And then I would say about a week ago, before he left, because he's in Los Angeles right now, right before he left, I had just come back from QVC yet again, and we were in the backyard. I just gotten off the plane and just got home. No wind in the backyard. I get out in the backyard, the wind starts up. And Patrick is like, and I said it to Dad again. He's saying hi. He's like, why is he only saying hi to you? Like, what's going on? He was almost getting irritated. I said, I don't know. It's just, maybe he knows that I'll tell you. Maybe he knows that you don't fully get it. And at first he was like, well, I don't believe it. And then all of a sudden the wind stopped, like dead stop. And that's when he was like, okay, I think there is something on to what you're saying. Because he even admitted, he was like, if the wind kept going, I would say it's coincidence. But the fact that the wind just, it was like a gust and then stopped, he realized there's something here. And then even with his mom, like we were out for a walk the other day and there was like a little, the big thing with his mom, we would always say, un petit oiseau, which is, you know, a tiny bird. And so there was a bird like right there on a bush, almost like, and you know, birds, they take off. He got right up to it and it was just like looking at him. And I said, that's your mom. Hello. Like the signs are everywhere. And he was like, oh yeah. And I said, and see, it happened for you. You saw the bird first. I didn't. So I'm trying to help him like see the signs and that his parents are around him and they're watching over him. And you know, our loved ones are always with us.
Yeah. Well, they're coming to you and they're showing you because they know you recognize that kind of thing and something he wasn't paying attention to. And I feel like I'm sort of the same, like things, stuff's happening all the time and I'm not always paying attention. And I'm like, I want a sign from my dog or I want this or that. And she's probably giving me signs all the time and I'm just ignoring it or like busy or not paying attention or whatever. And I think our loved ones are always trying to give us signs, especially when we need them.
Yeah, it's very true. They always are. And that's what I've tried to teach him is that, you know, try to just like quiet your mind at moments and try to look outside and around and you'll see it. It's there. There will always be a sign somewhere, somehow. And, you know, that's how I raised my son too, because he's very, very much an empath and he's gotten away from it right now. He's on his own path, but I have a feeling he'll come back to it at some point because we've had experiences together. He's had things happen to him, where, you know, he's felt the spirits. And so it's definitely in the blood and you're right. I think they tend to come to me because I recognize it.
Yeah. Because calming your brain and paying attention is easier said than done for a lot of people. Yeah. I know it's way easier for me to say, oh yeah, you should do that than to actually do it. It's just like, there's so much going on. There's so much to think about. And there's just so much noise, you know?
It's so true. And to be honest with you, I'm not good at that. I think it's just that because I'll get like messages and I'll get the visual cues, I'll get the signs. And even if my brain is like, I've got a million things going on, I think there's something where, you know, it'll still come into me. And this is where I know I've been told that it's in the family blood and this has been going on for centuries. And like I said, I didn't know if I wanted to accept it at one point, but I finally just relinquished to it. I was like, okay, it's a gift. It's a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just more tapped in, I think, than the average person.
Yeah. And I think, to be honest with you, I think we all have the gift.
I think so. Yeah.
I think we all do.
That's what they say.
It is what they say. And I do believe that. It's just how much do you want to work on it? And I think it does come easier for some people than maybe others. Maybe some people have to work harder for it. For me, I found that it's not something I really have to work at. It's there. Like, I don't want it. It's there.
The dying of a broken heart type thing. I've seen that happen firsthand. I used to work in a cardiology office and there were couples that would come in that had been together for so long and one would die. And then one would die, like the next one would die like shortly thereafter. And it happened more than once, like enough to where it was like a pattern where we'd be like, oh, they died of a broken heart. Even though the actual cause was something else. Like we knew that, no, that person was totally fine until that person passed. And it was a broken heart.
And that's exactly his mom. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was a broken heart. And, you know, sadly with his dad had a stroke and the hospital sent him home. And at first we were like, oh my, why would you send a stroke patient home? Well, come to find out, they knew he was going to pass and they felt better it be in his home than in a hospital and with his loved ones. So unfortunately he had a second stroke and that's when he went to the hospital and he passed. And after that, she never recovered. She mentally and emotionally and physically never recovered. Like I said, COVID was the vehicle, but the true cause of death was a broken heart.
Yeah.
And I never experienced that or saw that or didn't even know if I really believed in it until I witnessed it this time. And then after watching this with his parents, it's like, yeah, that's it is a real thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Going back to all the houses that you've been in that were haunted up till this one, I'm curious, do you think that each of the houses were individually haunted, or do you think that there was something attached to you that you brought to each of the houses?
Interesting that you asked that, because I've questioned that. Somebody at one time did tell me there was something attached to me. And I did have somebody, I've got very dear friends on the East Coast that I will call, and they do bioenergy, and they have checked me out at times. And there was one time I had seven spirits attached to me, and they were like, one is right outside the door. One's like just waiting. And the most evil one they said was right outside the house, just like waiting for me to break. Waiting for something in my spirit to break so that it could get in. And these people have saved my lives. I mean, they really have saved. Lindsay and Willie are their names. And they've absolutely saved me, because ever since they did a cleansing on me, I haven't had it. And maybe that's why, because that before I moved into this house, I had them do a cleansing on this house. I had them go over me again, because what they explained to me was that if you're somebody that is very spiritual, if you're somebody that is very open to these ideas, you're a conduit, basically. Mm-hmm. And the more spiritual you are, the more of a believer you are, the more they're going to want to grab onto you. So when they explained that to me, it kind of made sense. And they said, you know, listen, you, and she even explained to me one time, it was during the pandemic, there was, because it was, you know, in LA, it was treated very differently than like somewhere in Nevada. Yes, they handled it here, but I mean, I gotta be honest with you. I mentally probably was not going to recover had I not left Los Angeles. It was really, really damaging me mentally to get past the whole like lockdown thing. Uh-huh. So long story short, when I went to a mall for the first time with my son through the pandemic, which was like terrifying for me, I was not myself. After I came out of there, and I thought it was just, okay, it's me, you know, afraid of everything going on and, you know, masking and all this. And so I called them, talked to them, and they're like, that's not it. They said, were you, and I didn't tell them where I had gone. They explained where I was. They explained the mall. They explained where I had, like in the mall, had gone to. And they said, there was a woman that had died where you were, and she grabbed right onto you. And you brought her home. So now we got to do clean you all over again.
In the mall, she died?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
You're just picking them up everywhere. You can't go anywhere.
I'm like, can I please have a break, God? Like I said, touch wood, have not dealt with that since I moved. So I don't know if it just is a matter of dealing with these people, the homes I lived in, being in a different environment. I'm in a different mind state now. I'm healed. And I think because I've healed myself, I'm not an easy target like I used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. When the last time we talked, you told me a story about your Sherman Oaks house.
That's Studio City. Yes.
Oh, it was Studio City?
Yes.
What happened there?
So that was the one where I saw the shadow. That happened. I'm trying to think what else happened.
Oh, that's where the shadow happened? For some reason, I thought the shadow happened when you were a kid.
It was, yes. I was in that house from the day I was born until 16, 17 years old.
Oh, I did not realize that. Okay.
A lot happened in that house. And what was interesting is something happened to every single family member. But like my dad and my brother are very scientific brains. And none of us really talk about this stuff. And it wasn't until we moved out, we were like, oh, did you feel that cold spot in the door in the like hallway? Yes. Oh my God, you felt it too? Yes. Did you see that woman walk into the wall? Yes. Like all of us were like, oh my gosh. Like we didn't realize we all had experiences with ghosts until we moved out. And then we felt comfortable to talk about it.
And what about the Topanga Canyon story?
That one was interesting because it wasn't like, and it's funny because that's where I was told that I was the biggest problem. So was it a ghost in the house or was it me? I think there was something in the house that was messing with stuff. There was one spot in the stairwell, I remember, where the dog and the cat would just not stop staring. And inevitably, it was always when I was home alone and like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, seriously, guys, like, can't you do this at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon so I can leave? Like, why are you doing this late at night? And like, it's, and I'm by myself. So they would just stare. And I had one dog that would just growl and bark at this one particular spot in the stairs. And I felt horrible because for me, I'm used to this. Like I deal with this. I'm used to it. My husband and I went out of town and one of my dear friends, stayed at the house sat for me, watched the animals. And she texted me one night and she was like, why is the dog growling at the stairs? I was like, oh my God, I can't tell her. I was like, if I tell her, the dog and cat are going to be left alone. She's going to run and I wouldn't blame her. So I was like, oh, I don't know.
Really? They've never done that before.
I told her obviously afterwards because I didn't want to freak her out because I knew nothing was going to happen. But I just said, oh, just, put the dog in the crate. It's fine. And we got home and I said, okay, so here's what's going on.
And how did she take it?
I'm too honest.
How did she take it?
She was okay about it. She's like, I had a feeling there was something. Did enjoy it, but she wasn't upset at all.
Oh, that's good.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And I remember, didn't you have like some audio of Edith Head?
There was something of Edith Head, but I actually have audio also on my TikTok from, there was something Edith Head. You're right. And I'm blanking on that right now. But the audio I have more recently, because when I go back east and I go to QVC, my best friend that lives back there, she's always finding the coolest stuff for us to do. Like she discovered the Vampa Museum, which I don't know if you've ever seen that or, you're going to love this place. It's everything. It's a house that they've transformed into different rooms of different centuries of vampire killing kits. And at the very end of it, the message to it is, we're not here to promote evil. We're here to show you that evil exists and we are to fight against it. As mankind, we are to band together and fight against. And it's all about the Holy Trinity and Christ and Mother Mary. So it ends beautifully.
Where is that museum?
That is in Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
But she took me to the main prison of Pennsylvania where Al Capone was.
Oh, Eastern State.
Yes, thank you. Eastern State. And so she actually was the one that got a photo. And when she took the photo, we always like to put our photos on live. So then you can choose which frame you want. So she had the photo on live, but it still was just a photo. And when we looped it back to the live, when you push the live on it, you hear a voice. And it's still just a photo. There's no movement, but you hear a voice. And we're still to this day trying to figure out what it's saying. It sounds like picture, but I'm not sure. I don't know. And I can send you that link too. It's also on my TikTok because it's just like so obvious that something was there with her when she took this photo.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Eastern State is a cool spot.
I want to go back so badly. I mean, the whole Al Capone thing is fascinating. And anybody that gets a chance to go there, I highly recommend visiting there because that was fascinating to go see his holding space. And the fact that, you know, everybody thinks that, oh, it's so beautifully decorated because he had the money, and that's not true. It was more because he paid off other inmates, or, you know, I mean, yeah, he still used money, but he would, or exchange, he would give whatever something of his so that he could have like a nicer bed, or, and it's actually a really nice looking prison cell.
Yeah. I went there a long time ago. I was doing this thing with Yahoo. I had an animal show with Yahoo called Animal Nation, but then they asked me if I wanted to do like this 6-part Halloween thing for them. And I was like, yes. So we did 6 like spooky things leading up to Halloween. And one of the places they sent me was Eastern State Penitentiary. And we did the whole tour and everything. It was amazing. And even if you're not, well, I guess if you're listening to this podcast, you're into ghosts, but even if you're not, or you have people that aren't, it's a great place to go, even just for the historical aspect of it. That's true. And it, you know, all the history and everything. But they locked me in Al Capone's cell for a minute, you know, not a long time, but like, yeah, you know, locked me up in there, which was really cool.
I'm so jealous. That is so cool.
So I have a picture sitting in there like all.
Oh, that's so cool.
But that place is crazy. And I, unfortunately, I just heard, and I don't know if this is 100% true, but I just heard from another guest that they don't like talking about their haunted history anymore.
Really?
That's what I heard. And it's crazy because they were like, they're known for it. They have like they have a haunted attraction that they do every year, or used to do anyway, at Halloween time. So I thought they were really embracing it, but a guest recently told me that they don't anymore. So that's unfortunate if it's true.
That is unfortunate. I mean, we didn't do any of the like guided tours or anything like that, so we didn't ask anybody. But that is unfortunate if all of a sudden they've changed, because like, again, like the hotel, why run from it? Just embrace it. And it's an abandoned prison, for God's sakes.
Right.
Al Capone was held there. Come on.
Nobody's trying to spend the night. Well, no. Except for me. Yeah, I do want to spend
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Yeah, there's a lot that she's helped me discover over in Penn. Now, she lives in Maryland, but she also, because my husband did the original Silent Hill and created Pyramid Head and all the like crazy, like creepy things. And there's a new one coming out. And so I told her, I said, I really want to go find... I'm blanking on what the town is called.
Centralia?
Oh yeah, thank you. Centralia. We found the real Centralia. We found Graffiti Highway. We walked all along. It is terrifyingly creepy, but amazing. We found one of the like water spots where it's just like this random water is kind of, and you could see too, because there's only 4 people living there, because everybody's basically left. Mm-hmm. And the 4 people that are living there, they know that there's a danger in living there because there is a gas that is released. Mm-hmm. They refuse to move. And so I did notice that when we pulled up to get a photo of this one, like geyser that was kind of coming out of got out of the car, that one of the homes was like right there, and somebody came right on the porch and was just watching us. And I was like, okay, I think it's time to go. I don't want to get shot right now.
I did not know anybody was allowed to still be there.
4 people live there.
Wow. So just for the listeners, if you don't know, Centralia is a town in Pennsylvania, and a fire started, like it was in their garbage, I believe, right? And then it got underground, and they cannot put it out. It will burn. it'll burn indefinitely. Yep. So everybody had to evacuate this town. So it's kind of like an abandoned, well, not kind of, it is an abandoned town. I heard that most of the buildings have been knocked down. Is that true?
There's still some. There's still some that are, you know, the windows are all broken out, but most are knocked down, but there are still some. There is still a grave site, a cemetery that we went over to. There's still some things standing. But yeah. Graffiti Highway is really creepy and really trippy. And these four last people, nobody was forced to leave, but they all left on their own accord. The three or four that are left, from what I was told, once they pass away, those homes will be demolished. Nobody's allowed to move into that area.
Yeah.
So it's a trip I also highly recommend going to.
Yeah. And it's also super creepy because the highway that goes to it is closed off. And so I think you could still walk it, right?
That's
but you can't drive down it.
That's yeah. when I walked. And that's then, the highway.
And then the steam and everything is coming up from under the ground. And so it's just got this all around creepy vibe to it. I've not been, but I just know about it.
It's amazing. It's an amazing trip to go on. Now, granted, yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere. And even when you start to make your way to it, I remember there was this, and again, I got photos of everything, but there was an altar, this weird altar where somebody had been killed but big. And things weren't making sense. Like, I get it. Somebody passes away. You create a little thing on the side of the road, but this was a whole thing.
Wow.
And painted and it just, I was like, that's odd. Okay. Here we go.
Interesting. I need a friend like this friend of yours that wants to go on all these creepy little excursions.
Come join us.
Yeah. What else have you guys done?
Oh, let's see. So we've done the Vampa Museum. We did Centralia. We did the, I'm trying to think what else.
Eastern State.
We did Eastern State. There was another museum. I'm blanking. It wasn't anything haunted wise, but it was another museum to go into. More art, not art, but woodworkings and different artistic museum.
Yeah.
And there was one section that I thought was so fascinating where it was talking about during the Revolution, because I'm fascinated by the American Revolution. I go to Valley Forge. Candace is my friend's name. And every time I go there, I'm like, please take me to Valley Forge because I never have a car. So he always comes and picks me up. And I am convinced that I had a past life in Valley Forge. I'm convinced I was a soldier. Every time I go over to the headquarters, I don't know. It's a whole other story, but I'm obsessed with Valley Forge. So we go into this one museum and it's telling some of the story of Valley Forge and the American Revolution. But in particular, there were these two guys that started a little bit of a gang of anti-American Revolution, and they were Canadian. And what's interesting is to this day, the Americans completely shut it down and think they were locked away for treason, but Canadians revere them. Canadians see them as people that were no, they were fighting against what should not have been fought for. That's how they felt. So it showed, as we left, it showed a photo of their tombstones and how there's a graveyard. And on the other side of the wall, they put their bodies.
Oh.
And so I took a photo of it and we went to the people running the museum. And we said, where is this graveyard? And they're like, oh, it's 5-10 minutes up the road. And we both were like, we're going. So we went and I was able to match the photo up and put photo by photo, and I took a photo of where I was. Sure enough, there's a whole graveyard and cemetery, and on the other side of the wall, out of disrespect, these two bodies were there.
Interesting.
So I just was like, this is too amazing to match this up and find it. One of those things is so she's so good at finding cool, fun, creepy stuff to do.
Yeah. Have you guys done Gettysburg?
We were supposed to. And I ended up getting sick and could not make the drive. But we want to do Gettysburg, but for me, it's all about just everything that there's, like I said, there's something about the American Revolution that I can't put my finger on, but just gets me.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's almost like maybe you were there in a previous life or something.
Oh yeah. I know that I was. I know for sure I was.
Yeah. Also in Pennsylvania, not far from that area, is Pennhurst Asylum.
Yes. That's another one that we were supposed to do, because a lot of times I'll have a lot of shows on QVC around what we call fourth quarter, which is October, November, December. So especially in October, I like to get over there and just go like run around and have as many adventures as possible.
There are so many spots in Pennsylvania that are haunted. I was telling my husband, like, I want to go there for like a month and I just want to like drive around the whole state and do all this haunted stuff.
It's true. There is so much in just, I mean, put aside the East Coast, there's so much. But Pennsylvania to me is like a hub for paranormal activity.
I think so too. There's just so much going on. Do you ever do like actively go on a ghost investigation?
I have. There's one in Newhall where my sister, she still has a home, but she's now more Hawaii based. But there's an old abandoned train station down the street from her. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. And so every Halloween, they do like the haunt and all that. And they did take us on a little mini investigation and showed us like, took us up into the attic of the train station. So that's the only one I've been on. I've wanted to do them. I would like to do more, because especially even in Vegas, we have a lot in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I would really love to, you know, look into more of that. You know, we have ghost towns. I was bummed to find out that Calico is not a real ghost town. I just learned that recently.
Oh, is it not?
No, it's not. I know. There is. We do have ghost towns around here, but Calico is more like Disneyland.
Oh.
So I'm sure there's some truth to some of it, because there are mines around there. I'm sure somebody died. But overall, no, it's a lot of it is fabricated. But we do have ghost towns. You know, we also have Lake Mead not far from me. There's a lot that's happened in Lake Mead. You got Hoover Dam, you got Boulder City, where a lot of people have, a lot of the builders of Hoover Dam lived and passed. So there's a lot of interesting history just around here, I'm learning, that is surprising. I mean, even going to areas like Spring Mountain Ranch, people don't really know about. Mount Charleston is another popular one. So there's a lot. When people think Las Vegas, they always think the Strip, and it's not. There is so much outside of the Strip.
Yeah. Yeah, there really is. Okay, I just have some roundup questions for you.
Yeah.
What would you say is the scariest place you've ever been, like paranormal-wise?
I would have to say that hospital that I'm blanking on, that I filmed The Bay in. Mm-hmm. That was probably the scariest, because it was dealing with the child abuse. And the fact that we were filming, and it was still, not even the filming side, because that happens, but the fact that it was still a running hospital.
Yeah, such a
burning bias, and people were dying around me. So that was like, you're dealing with the past of death and the current of death.
Right.
So that was tough. That was a tough one.
Yeah. Since you don't do investigating, you probably don't have a favorite tool, but I would say your favorite tool, I always say besides yourself, but yours would be definitely yourself.
My phone. I mean, I capture a lot of stuff on my phone. That's why I try to post as much as I can. But yeah, I mean, I know between, you're right, myself and my phone.
Yeah, for sure. And then what would you say, because I know you've caught some evidence, what would you say is the most compelling piece of evidence that you've caught?
Probably that drawer at Hotel Park. That was something that was like so in my face. And it couldn't be denied. There was no way that you could say, no, could be this. I mean, they tried to. They actually did try to, the front desk did try to say, well, some drawers are a little stickier than others. I'm like, come on. I wasn't born yesterday. Like,
that's funny.
I mean, I remember them saying that to me. I'm like, okay, I'm in a brick wall right now. Like, I'm not going to get anywhere.
You like go in there with a level and like check out.
I almost did. Oh my God. I almost did. I was like, do I go to Home Depot or Lowe's and go buy a level?
You're like, nope, it's not that. It's level.
I should have just like gone back and been like, here's the thing.
Yeah. And we already talked about that you wear the cross for protection.
Yeah.
Because I always ask people what they carry, if anything. Okay, what's the one paranormal place that you've heard about that you are dying to go to, but you haven't been to yet?
Ooh. Oh, I just watched a documentary on it. It's a plantation. I know you'll know it. It's a very famous plantation.
Myrtles?
Yes, thank you.
Is it really Myrtles?
Yes, Myrtles. I want to go. I just told my husband this like a week or so ago, because we were watching a documentary and I said, I want to go spend the night there.
What documentary did you watch? I love the Myrtles.
I think it's called Unexplained Files.
Okay.
I'll look it up to be sure.
But yeah, let me know, because I love, I love finding out anything I can on the Myrtles.
You know what was interesting about this, and what I really kind of liked about this, is you had so many different opinions and stories. So many people believe it was a slave that had been killed, and come to find out that's not what happened at all.
Yeah.
Apparently there's conflicting stories.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the truth is. I mean, the story they originally told was fascinating. And I was like, oh my God, that's horrible. But come to find out that story of the slave that poisoned the family and killed the family, and then she was thrown in the body of water that's there, apparently is not true. So then it was back pedaling to, okay, well, what is true? What could be the truth? And apparently every family that has lived on this plantation, almost every member dies of some mysterious illness. So I told Pat, when I heard that, I was like, well, maybe I don't want to go visit.
No, you do. Like, you do.
Buy it. So
no, you still want to visit. It's interesting because they tell the story of Chloe, the slave girl who poisoned the family. And she was also eavesdropping. They cut her ear off. So that's how they know it was her. So there's definitely that story. And I have heard that that is not true, a true story. So I don't know what the truth is, but I do know that a lot of things have happened there. And when we stayed there, we definitely had stuff happen. They say you can hear footsteps on the stairs up to the 17th floor. I 100% heard them.
Wow.
Like loud, like boots, like boom, 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 boom. And I opened up my door. Whoa. I was at the very top of those stairs. Nobody. So there definitely is stuff going on. And then not only that, but there was like stuff going on in our room that we could not explain. Noises and furniture moving and like things just like happening so loud and all around us in the middle of the night that Nick, he was just like, he wasn't even like really a believer back then. And he was just like, what is that? What was that? Did you hear that? What was that noise? Oh my God. Like, what is happening right now? And then it was so much going on that he was like, they have to be staging this, right? Like they're doing this. And I'm like, no, they're not doing this.
Wow. See, I got to go there. I'll send you this documentary because it was really an eye opener, and just that whole area. You know, I've also wanted to go to just everything dealing with like New Orleans, like that whole area is just it's beyond fascinating to me.
New Orleans is incredible, and the energy just when you arrive in that city, like you just feel like you must feel it really strong because I feel it. Like there's just like this, like almost overwhelming sense of like nostalgia for me being there. And like, you just like, I don't know. I just feel really like I belong in that city, and not even necessarily that I need to live there or that I even lived there before, but I just feel really connected when I go there.
Interesting. So yeah, there is something, it's like almost like it's like Valley Forge for me.
Yeah.
You feel that connection. Yeah. It's like, you've been there before and you probably had a past life there.
Yeah, and I just really love it. I love their whole culture there.
Yeah, and it's I mean, I haven't been, but that's when you say.
Oh, you haven't been yet to New Orleans? Oh my gosh.
I want to go so badly. I've wanted to go my whole life because I know they have the vampire tour. They have the cemetery. Like, I want to do all that stuff.
Yes. I feel like you're going to feel it so strongly when you go there, because I don't feel like it's just me. Like, I don't feel like I have like a crazy connection to the town. I feel like it's the way everybody feels when they go there. It's like a really interesting, I mean, I could be wrong. There could be people going, what are you talking about? I hate New Orleans, or I doubt that. But like, I just feel like there's something about it where you really feel part of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm so curious. We'll have to talk again after you.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a whole other interview.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories. Tell everyone listening how they can follow you on social media and buy your products and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I'm very active on Instagram under M Westmore, TikTok under M Westmore. And it's funny because, you know, I always keep my Instagram more like tailored and like buttoned up, where my TikTok is just like whatever. Like anything goes on my TikTok. Facebook, Mackenzie Westmore, X Mackenzie Westmore, no E at the end because my name was too long. This is back when it was Twitter. Threads everywhere. I'm everywhere. And then westmorebeauty.com. And you can also find westmorebeauty.com. I mean, Westmore Beauty on QVC and Amazon.
And you guys definitely need to check out the Body Perfector because it's amazing. I mean, your other products are amazing too. I remember I loved the liquid eyeliner.
Oh, that liquid eye, you know, that one I worked a lot really hard on, because to me it was all about getting the length of the tip just right.
It really is.
Of liquid to come out.
Yes.
I worked hard on that one.
Yeah. No, I love your pin.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Ghost Bunny Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on my spooky adventures, and I look forward to sharing a new ghost story with you each week. Please subscribe to our podcast so you're always the first to know when a new episode is out, and follow us on social media at Ghost Bunny Podcast on Instagram, at Ghost Bunny Podcast on YouTube. And every once in a while, I'm trying to put more stuff on the Patreon too. Thank you guys for being so patient with me, but it's patreon.com/ghostbunny. Mackenzie, thank you.
Thank you.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.